The recording is starting now. Shout out to Charlie Kramer and to Derek, as always.
Okay, so let's start with the first question. Lefi halishna batra by Yosim HaGimel. Mas over Yossi im amar makif v'gadar ruach dalid. So what was Yossi hold over here? So tain beds rachim. Okay, so let's start with what was Yossi hold, and then we'll explain the two different ways that the Gemara in Bava Kamma explains the Tama Dabar. So we mentioned that there was our initial understanding, the Havamina, was that that Rabbi Yossi holds that if the Makif is gather the fourth side, this is a case of Zeh Nehneh v'Zeh Lo Chaser, right? This is a case of you mean the what's it called, the Nikif, he's getting benefit from now being protected on all four sides. And the Makif is the one who is not losing out on anything. He's an Ochaser, and therefore we say Zednam Zelochaser Paters. Therefore, the Nikif should be totally Pater from having to contribute. But we said the Maskana of the Gemara was that maybe we say that the Nikif isn't Nehne even from the fourth wall. I mean, this is not a case of where he's being Nehne from the fourth wall. And he could still claim that I was fine with interior bar Zuza. And that's the taina he's making. It's not a din of Zeh Nehneh Zeh Lo Chaser Pater. Rather, it's that he's saying that it's I can make the claim that I'd be fine with interior bar Zuza. I'd be totally fine with much less. So therefore, how can you obligate me to contribute Bechlal? And the second maskana of the Gemara Bava Kamma was no. But according to the second shot, he was gilai das that he was nehneh in this situation, that he's okay with this, and therefore he was nehneh, and therefore he actually has to pay. So that was all that first part of the question. So the next part, ma kasha hatosfos bevakama al makshin sham, the matirutso. So what was the question of Tosfos over here? He said that it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Why do we say in the Havamina, right, that I mentioned earlier, if im amad the makif, the makif gets up, then the nikif is putter because zeh nehneh zeh lo chaser. If that's meaning, say it one more time. We had said earlier that according to the Havamina of the Gemara, that or the makshin, we said that if the makif got up and built the wall, the nikif is going to be putter because zeh nehneh zeh lo chaser. But that should be that same svara of Zeh Nehneh Zeh Lo Chaser should also apply as well im amar hanikif, right? If he got up also and finished off the wall, that would still be a case of the makif not being chaser, and that would still be a case of the nikif being nehneh. So we should say putzer over there as well. So according to his understanding of the Gemara, there'd be no difference between the amar makif or amar nikif. They should be the exact same thing. So Tosfos answers and says that if im amad the nikif, then he's being giloy das, that he's willing to pay for this wall, even if the makif isn't being chaser. Meaning by that, even though we could say amad nikif, right, that it should be case of zed nam zel chaser, and therefore it should be pater, regardless, he was giloy das, that he's willing to pay for this wall. And therefore, it's not going to be the same as amad makif. Okay. So that was his answer. The case of Levara Devrei al Piatosos Baba Basra Yud Beis. So just to give the Gemara first. So the Gemara on Yud Beis and Amud Beis discusses this idea of the Dina de Bar Metzra, that if I own a field, this one field, and there's a field adjacent, I get first dibs to buy the field that's adjacent to me if someone's going to sell it. If someone bought land next to my father's land and I wanted it in the Yerusha from his father. Right, mean the father has a Yerusha, he's been giving away land to his sons, and one son bought land next to the father. Rabba says he gets this field because kofin alav yasum, because everyone will get the same value anyways. So why are we going to be mean to the, why are we going to be mean to this one guy? You know, why are we just going to be mean to him and like, you know, shove it in his face that like he can't get it? No, what we should do is we should give him the field kofin alav yasum. So the ritzva or Tosfos takes this idea of you know kofin alav yasum and applies it to our case by makif and nikif as well. He says afi shechel lechayvu al hana, even though really the nikif should be obligated for the hana that he's receiving, and we could make the nikif pay. We say ein kofin alav midas adom mepnei she'enu chaser, because the makif isn't losing out on anything. The makif is, you know, he's not being chaser in this situation. We're not going to make the nikif pay, and we say ein kofin alav midas adom. and therefore the Nikif is not going to have to pay. So we're really combining, he's saying that, he's really combining this idea of Midas Sodom, and because the Makif is not being chaser, therefore the Nikif is not going to have to pay at all. And that was Tosfos. So then we took it a step further. I think this is Rav Nachum. For some reason, I had it as the Nachas Dabbas. So I guess I could be Mavar that later. I apologize. But we said how the Nachas David says the Nikiv is showing that Gali Dedeite Denichalei Veshmira, right? That he shows, I mean, this would be, I guess, I'm going with the Maskana that Nikiv should actually have to pay. Because he's saying that his Gili Das Veshmira. And the Ikar Adin, who should have to put up the wall? If the wall is on the outside, it protects both of them. However, the Nikiv could claim that I don't need the Shmira. However, by building the fourth wall, it shows how it's a Sorech for both of them. And then therefore the Shmira is unnecessary. So we mentioned this is more of like a mitzad zechut shutfin, and the Nachas Dav is really saying that really the Nikif should have to pay because, you know, as a shutaf, he's benefiting from the Shmira as well. And this, and the Nachas Dav obviously is working outside the realm of Zenene Bizelo Chaser. So moving on to question 14. So in the Gemara we discussed, told over the story of Ravina told his sharecropper to take the Kivra de Ahinim Runya, to take some figs from Runya. So what was the heter to do this? So we know that the Torah says usher to steal al menas l'shalim. He's quoting this Gemara above Metzia, right? He's passing like this, but the Rambam seemingly makes a mechilak within Geneva and Gzela. By Geneva, he says one cannot be Goniv al Manas Lachzor or Goniv al Manas Lashalim or Derech Schok is still going to be an issue. But by Gzela, he doesn't mention al Manas Lashalim at all, implying that maybe by Gzela, al Manas is totally mutter. So what's going on over here? What's the Rambam saying? What's this chiluk he's creating? So what's the difference between Gzela and Geneva? So therefore, we need the Minchas Chinuch to explain the Rambam, and through the Minchas Chinuch, we're going to get an understanding as to why it was mutter for Ronia to do this in the first place. So the Minchas Chinuch says the Iker of Geneva is that you're doing a Maisa Geneva, right? The real Isser is the Mida Maguna you are taking secretly from someone else. That's why Geneva is so bad, because you're creating this negative attribute in you by doing this action in secret. While Gzela is all about the Hefsen Mamon to the Balim, right? I mean, you're doing it out of the open, but you're still making this guy lose out on his you're still stealing from him, so he's losing Mamon. Therefore, if you have no intention of Hefsen, then long term, this Maisa isn't really lost to the Balim. So he mentioned that by Geneva, there is something extra that you're doing, which is in secret, and you aren't afraid of Hashem and afraid of people. While by Gzela, you aren't scared of anyone while stealing in public. So we mentioned that this just outside, I know I just said a lot, but the basic difference is that Geneva is all Mida Maguna, and it's creating this negative attribute within you, whereas Gzela is all an idea of Hefsed Balin, that you're making the Baal lose out himself, but not necessarily bringing yourself into this negative attribute. So you brought a couple of nafkaminas to that, but what we really care about is that maybe we could say over here that, therefore, the simple answer to Ravina is that how could he ask his aris to do this? His aris was stealing like Gzela, and therefore we'd say that Gzela is allowed al menas l'shalim. And that's what the Rambam was saying. Rambam was saying that by Gzela, it's a hefsed balim, but you're not going to be creating this negative midah maguna because it really, it's starting this, it's al menas l'shalim. So therefore, we're not really going to be getting this midah maguna, so therefore it would be allowed. And then the other answer that we brought was the Birchas Avram, who says that Ravina claims that Ronia owes him money. Therefore, maybe he was taking the clusters as a tchilas piron, right? Because Ronia owes him money for the walls that he put up. So Ravina was just saying that it's I'm going to start, like, you now owe me X amount, so I'm going to start the payment that you owe me by taking this cluster right now. So it wasn't that he was stealing, he was being this idea of tofes lebal chov kana. Because the sharecropper was made as a shaliach, and therefore this wasn't really gzela at all. It wasn't like the Rambam that Geneva is usher, but maybe gzela here would be mutter. Rather, this wasn't gzela at all. It was starting his payment that Ronia owed him. So moving on to question 15, Mivor beGemara Hayaman Aleph to Ravina Savar Lesluke Laronia Medina Devar Metzra. So Amar Le Rav Safra. Dalad Lasala, Vidalad Slala. So Kesa Paris Rashi Bidivre Rasafra. So there's a bit of hack going around during Seder about which Rashi gives a couple of pshatim. I'm gonna bring both. Some chaver walked over to Rebbe and asked which one he wanted. It seemed like Rebbe would want the first pshat, but I just want to clarify that one more time with Rebbe tomorrow. But for now, I'll just give both pshatim, and then hopefully I'll send out like maybe later about a clarification. But Rashi gave two different pshatim. First, he said that Sala is a poor tanner and Slala is a rich tanner. That's the first pshat. And the second pshat was that Ronia would sell leather to tanners to make into shoes, right? He was like the middleman. So Ronia had to pay. He had to pay stuff for both on both sides, right? On the one hand, he had to pay for the leather. He had to buy the leather, and then he had to pay money to the tanners to then produce them into shoes. So Sala is the ore, and Slala are the tanners. So he was paying for the skins, and then he was paying for the tanners to make it into shoes. So therefore, what was Rav Safra saying? He was saying, "Do Rachmanis to Ronia and let him keep the field so that he can provide for his family with more ease." So it's just basically, I mean, regardless if you say the first shot or the second shot, what Rav Safra is saying is that even though you are permitted to take the stuff that you have dibs on this field, right? You have dibs on the field midin bar metzra. Regardless, give Roni the field because he needs it more. He's poor. Whether he's a poor tanner, whether he's losing a lot of money by having to pay everyone to make the shoes so that he can sell. Regardless, Roni is in a bad financial situation. So therefore, let him have it this time. So Tosfos on this ask three different kashas on Rashi, and then we'll give three answers and Rabbeinu Tam's yesod that he comes out with. So his first question was that how can Rav Safra paskin like that the din is to do chesed? Like where do we ever see that? I mean, obviously chesed is a great thing, but how can Rav Safra paskin against the din of Dina Bar Metzra for the sake of chesed? How does that make any sense? And the second question was that the implication of the Gemara was that Ravina made a mistake. But Rashi is implying that Ravina really did deserve the field, and that was the proper din. So how does that make sense? Let me say that one more time. Meaning the Gemara implied that Ravina made a mistake, and maybe he shouldn't have that it was wrong for him to think that he had dibs on this field. But Rashi is implying that no, Ravina really did deserve the field, but this din of chesed slugs it up. But it seems like Rashi is learning against our Gemara. That Ravina made a mistake. And our third question, which is more of a side question, was what's the shaychus of this story over here? If you want to say that, like, you know, we're discussing all the Roni and Ravina stories, well, then there's a third story. I forgot exactly what it was, but, like, why are we bringing this other story of the Dina Bar Metzra over here? Like, we have other stories of Roni and Ravina also. So why Dafka? We only mentioned two, and we don't mention the third story as well. So first, we'll give what Rabbeinu Tam says, and then we'll take his Yesod, and that will allow us to answer all three of our questions. So the yesod that Rabbeinu Tam discusses is that really the case is as follows. I mean, I could share my screen, but it's fine. I'll just do it without. That Ravina was surrounding Ronia on all four sides, and then within that middle area, right, that Ravina was surrounding, the field was split in half. Ronia had one half, and the other half had just gone up for sale. So Ronia was right next door to this area as well, but Ravina was surrounding it on three sides. That's what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. So now we'll work backwards and we'll answer some of our questions. So we'll start with our third question, which was how does this story relate to the other stories? So you mentioned this story relates to the previous story because it occurred before the first story. I mean, what does that mean? This story of Dina de Bar Metzra, right, occurred, and then Ronia was makif. And then afterwards, Roni was makif one side, right? Because he was surrounded by that one side. And then afterwards, Ravina surrounded Ronia on all four sides. Meaning, Ronia was in the middle. They had this whole entire ish thing of the Dina Bar Metzra. And then afterwards, Ravina started fencing him off. And then afterwards, he asked for help and payment because he was surrounding Ronia on all four sides. So these stories actually do play into each other. The second question was actually Ravina was incorrect. Our question was the Gemara implies Ravina was incorrect, but Rashi implies that Ravina was actually right. But there's a side thing. So So we're saying that, no, really, Ravina actually was incorrect. He thought that he should get the field because he was surrounding the field that he wanted, the Dina de Bar Mitzvah field on three sides, and Ronia was only Makif on one side. He was only up against the field on one side. But in truth, Ronia still had a valid claim because by Dina de Bar Mitzvah, we don't say it's three versus one, three wins out. We say, no, each are bordering the field, so they each have equal shaisos to that middle field. And third of all, it wasn't a chesed, but Medina. And what does that mean? But Medina, Ronia actually deserved the field because he was a meitzar. He was next to the field. So it wasn't that we were doing a nice thing for him. Ronia actually had a valid claim for the field. So then moving forward, Tain Gimel Drachim B'Yishuv Shitas Rashi. So how can we help explain Shitas Rashi about how can he paskin that doing chesed is? What does that mean? How can Rav Safra say that you're permitted to give Roni the field because he needs it, and it's a nice thing to do? So we brought three different shitas: the Yad Ramah, the Shita Mikabetzes, and the Muka Yosef. So the Yad Ramah says maybe Rashi wasn't paskening like Chesed, rather the din is X, but the nice thing to do is Y. Meaning Rashi is agreeing that you know the din is you should do din of the Bar Mitzvah, but he's saying it's a nice thing to do lift Nimishorish Adin and do a Midas Chesed with Ronia. The din is din of the Bar Mitzvah, but Rav Safra is just saying, go above the letter of the law. Do lefnim mishurat din and do a nice thing. Shita Mikubetzes said that Rav Safra told Ravina to do a chesed with Ronia, and this is not just like a lefnim mishurat din type of idea, but rather it's what? It's actually an obligation. So where do we see this from? There's a pasuk that says Lantelach b'derech tovim. It's a pasuk. It's a din that you have to do with the mishur osa din. It's not just like a nice thing to do that you should go above the letter of the law, but it is the law itself that you have to go that you have to do. It's a din that you have to do a nice thing. And actually, chesed would be an obligation. And then the third understanding, which is the Muki Yosef, which is a little more challenging, and a little more nuanced. He says that the din of the Bar Mitzvah teaches us this idea of he says that the pasuk of Vasisa Yasher Vatov is actually channeling into Dina de Bar Mitzvah, and that's why the Ani gets it. So what does that mean? So we know that Dina de Bar Mitzvah is all about, you know, it shows who gets preference for the field, who gets dibs, right? And therefore, this din sometimes dictates that it goes to this guy, or shows, the din of Bar Mitzvah shows that sometimes the din dictates that it should go to this guy. Other times, the din dictates that it should go to this guy. But when an ani is involved, Vasisisa Vayashar Vatov tells us that through din of Bar Mitzvah, through showing who it goes to, the ani gets it. I mean, the din of Bar Mitzvah is itself a mechayev that Ravina should let Ronia keep the wall, keep the field. So we're saying that Dina Dvar Metzra, when Vesisa Vyashar Vatov is channeling through Dina Bar Metzra, shows how the preference should go to the Ani. And that was the Nimuka Yosef. Moving on to question 16. So Kovos Al-Chatzar Shnafa Mechayvin Oso Levnot Adal Amos Becheskas Shnasan. So Ma'al Al-Chirish B'zeh L'das HaRashba L'das HaRashi. Okay, fine. So we'll start with that. So what's the chiddush according to the Rashba in this case, right? That if the kotel fell, you're obligated to build up until Daat Ambos, and you have a cheskas shenasan. So the Rashba says that what's the case? Here the case is as follows: the Toveya tried to get the Nitva to contribute to the wall, right? He wanted the guy to help, and Adim saw this occur. However, the Nitva refused in front of Adim. He said, "No, I don't really want to. Not sound like my thing. I don't really want to help contribute to the wall." And even still, we still say he's b'cheskas shenasan. So that's pretty crazy. So like, you know, he didn't contribute to the wall. He refuses in front of Adim. Yet we still say he has a chazakah of giving. So why is that so? Because gilei lakol. This is the Rashi says is gilei lakol that he's chayav to pay for the wall. We assume he paid and came to his senses. Initially he refused, but later he agreed. So the chiddush according to the Rashba is that he has a cheskas shenasan even if you're refused in front of Adin. Now the Nachas David, which is not, Rebbe didn't necessarily want this, wasn't quoted on the bottom, but he says that Rashi was not a fan of this pshat. Rashi said we assume that Nitva contribute. However, the Toveya brought Adin. We assume that he's b'cheskas shelo nasan, meaning if the Toveya brought Adin and he refused in front of this guy refused in front of Adin, then he has a cheskas shelo nasan, and therefore he should not be believed. So he was not a fan of what the Rashba was saying. If there are edim involved for when the Toveya is trying to make the Nitva contribute, that's not going to be, he's going to have a Cheska Shalom Nasan. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. So therefore, according to Nachlas David, and Rashi, so what's the chiddush according to Rashi? Meaning what's the chiddush if it fell, he has a chazakah of giving. What's the chiddush according to Rashi? So we said that what's the case of becheska shenasan? Really, there were eidim that the toveya built the wall, and then we know that toveya deserves money, and that's what the eidim were doing. The eidim weren't on the tviya; they weren't there when the toveya said, you know, help me contribute to the wall. But rather, according to Rashi, they were on the binyan. They were on the building itself. Okay. So next part of the question, Ma Kasha Harash Al Shitas Rashi. So what's his what was his kasha? He said that even if he said it in front of Edim, right? Even if he said it in front of Edim, we assume that he was just meaning according to Rashi, he said he didn't like the pshat of the Rashba because if the Toveya in front of Edim, it would be Cheskas Shelo Nasan. But the Rush says we have this idea of Ishtamute, right? That maybe even if he said in front of Edim that I don't want to contribute now, we assume he was just evading or didn't want to pay right away. He's not denying his chayav, but he's pushing it aside for now. He's saying, I'd rather not pay right now, but I'm going to pay later. And he's denying the claim now, but he has every intention of paying later. So Rashi said if the Edim testified on the Tevia, then it's Cheskas Shelo Nasan. Maybe he was just evading, and he had every intention to pay later, and therefore he actually should be Becheska Shenasan. So that was the Rosh's kasha, that if we're using this idea of Ishtemute, maybe he was just pushing it off, and therefore even if your Tevei in front of Edim, he should still be believed because we assume he was pushing it off. And then B'man Nechaku Rashi V'Rosh B'Inyan Chuchsa Kafrin. So the Rosh said that we define Huchzak Kafrin, the status of being a liar, that's when you're sheker bevadai, when it's bevadai that you're lying. Whereas Rashi says, no, it's more of a chutzpah or a meiz panav in front of edim. But not necessarily vadai, it's more of a chutzpahdik type of din. Moving on to question 17, so mahu chazis. So this is basic. Rebbe Yishwan is thinking very simply that it's a heker or a simen that shows that something belongs to you. That's what the Gemara talks about. He doesn't want like how the Gemara describes how it was like, you know, leaning over or whether it was like you had a chazis on the inside. Just basic shot. It's a heker or a simen that belongs to you. So matai. Masai tiknu chachamim chazis lefia mishnah. So when were the chachamim misakin that you have to do a chazis according to the mishnah? So if you look at the mishnah, they're only misakin by a bika. They did not discuss it by a chazir on beis amin aleph. So now the question is, okay, so ha'im hani chazis b'chazir that's a rush by Ri, Ri Megash, by Rabbi Natan, by Ramban, the Lama. So the question is now, so we just said that the chazis only, the Mishnah only discussed it by a bika. So the question is, how does that apply to chazir, and in what situation would it work? So the rush, just simply, there's a machlokas, the rush and the Ri Megash. The rush says normally a chazis is only necessary by a bika. That's what the Mishnah said. Who say it shouldn't apply here as well? Why shouldn't a chazak work by chatzir? Like, give me a reason, like why it shouldn't work. I mean, seemingly a chazak should work here as well. And that's the Rush's. Rush's says, you know, chazak should work by chatzir. The Ri Megash says, just because you put a chazak doesn't necessarily mean that you built the wall. Because Anan Sahadeh, that you didn't build the wall yourself, and the chazak won't work by chatzir. I mean, we assume Anan Sahadeh, that's what's behind the Ri Megash. He's saying that we assume that even if there's a chazak there, we assume that up until Daud Amos, we testify that you must have built the wall together. So even if there's a chazak there, it's not going to accomplish anything. So where things get interesting is with Rabbeinu Tam. The Shita Mikvetzes quotes Rabbeinu Tam that we are talking about a case where he made a chazis, and therefore the other shuktaf is becheska shelo nasan. So what I just said, I mean just looking at Rabbeinu Tam, like, you know, without, you know, putting anything on it, it would seem like he's going like the rush, right? He says that a chazis seemingly does work in a chatzir. And it's Cheska Shelo Nasan for the other shutaf, implying that it really really does work. So it seems like he's going like the rush. However, we said that maybe Rabbeinu Tam actually isn't going like the rush, and he wasn't making a general statement, but was talking about specifically above Dalet Amos. That under Dalet Amos, Achazus is not gonna work. But he was saying that maybe above Lamala Medalad Amos, that's when Achazus is actually gonna work. And then Rabbeinu Yonah explains that maybe the Rimagash would agree to this idea as well. He says Achazus isn't a good raya. It doesn't usually work. However, if the Kosel is above Dalad Amos, then the Chaz will work on that part. It would work on the upper half. Because we're not going to say Anan Sahadeh by the top, by Lamao Dalad Amos, we're only say Anan Sahadeh by below. Okay, and then what does the Ramban say? So the Ramban gave two different pshatim. So I talked to Rebbe. I think Rebbe wants both pshatim. So the Ramban argues with this, what we've been saying so far, how you can have Chazis on the top, work for the top but not work for the bottom. He says, first of all, the muchzakos, the two shutafs, it starts on the bottom but extends throughout the whole entire mechitza. So therefore, the cheskas, the anan sahade by lamata madan amos extends all the way up as well. So therefore, if we're not going to believe a achazus on below, we're definitely not going to believe it extending upwards as well. And that was Rabban's first pshat why achazus would not work even lamala madan amos. And a second pshat was that there's no such thing as achazus for half a wall. Chazal is like weren't attacking this. So if Chazal weren't attacking this, then it's just not a thing. So that was the Ramban. So moving on to our last question. So we had taught in our Mishnah, Samech lo kosel a'ater, afal pi shlo nasa melavet atikra, megalgin melavet akol. So even if when you're so mechal well to your friend's wall, even if you didn't put the tikra, a beam across from your wall to the other, showing how you want to use his wall, you would still have to contribute. So what was our question on this? V'kasha da'amai megalgin levet akol, ula lo yitein atikra ala kosel. Meaning, why are, he just built the wall, so why are we making him contribute to this guy's wall right away? Maybe he has no intention of putting up the tikra at all. What's to say he's actually going to do that? Smatei rutsu al zeh Rabbeinu Gershom v'aran v'ritva v'tosfos. Okay, so Rabbeinu Gershom explains that really he built another wall, but he also built kundasin. Kundasin are, we said, are these kind of like these poles, these pegs, to support the tikra close to the kosel chaviro, and therefore his intention was to build his kundasin close to the kosel chaviro, and therefore he's going to be dar in this structure, because the mechitza of the kosel chaviro is saving him from other things out there. Meaning that it's his wall. There's two kundasin over here, and this over here is on the far left from my perspective. Is the kosel chaviro. So even though he's only going to be living between the kundasin and his wall, this friend's wall over here is actually helping him. It's saving him from anything, any animals or anything that would come in from the outside. So therefore, from the fact that he puts up the kundasin, it shows how he's being nehene. He's benefiting from his friend's wall. So therefore, even if he doesn't put up the tikra, he's being nehene, and therefore we have to contribute. So according to Rabbeinu Gershom, it's all a din of hana. The Ran says that no, the reason you have to contribute is because it was a kinyan achatzer, zachta lo chatzero, right? That his wall, it was done on your field, so therefore you have to help contribute because it was a kinyan achatzer. Your chatzer has acquired part of his wall, and therefore you were zachta lo chatzero, and therefore by building that wall, you shows how you want it, and therefore you have to contribute because according to the Ran, you're almost like acquiring part of it. In the Ritva. Says that you're chayev midin yored, and that's why you'd be obligated. And then now finishing off with Tosfos. So we said that Tosfos was assuming like Rabbeinu Gershom about all this idea of like hana, but at the same time he doesn't mention kundasin at all. So the question was the reason that we said the whole hana pshat at Rabbeinu Gershom was because of the kundasin. So according to Tosfos, if it's like Hana, and that's why you'd be obligated to contribute, but there's no kundasin, so where's that Hana coming from according to Tosfos? So this is where we brought in the stipler of the Kios Yaakov. So he says, Tosfos is saying a chiddush, that since we have an umdana now, and this partial hana, right? I mean, you haven't done anything yet, but there's this partial hana now. We view this future hana as real hana now. Meaning eventually you're gonna put up a tikrat, you're gonna be dar in this area, you're gonna be living in this spot. So even though you're not getting any benefit at this moment right now, we say that because you're gonna get future hana, we view that as real hana now. You can be chayav for what was done because you have set the hana into motion. And that's the Shita of Tosfos being explained by the stipler. And yeah, I guess we'll stop here. Everyone should have a good day.